Hey, Ashley, we like comic books, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, we also wrote a comic book, right?
Yes.
We did, and it comes out this week.
Yes.
Yes. Go to your comic book store, guys. The finale of our 5-issue miniseries, Jupiter Jet, published through Action Lab Entertainment, is coming out to comic book shops this week, actually April 18th.
Woo!
You can find it on your comic book stores. You can find it at your comic book stores, and you can find it digitally online at comixology.com. We put a lot of work into this. Our artist, Ben Matsuya, did a fantastic job, and we're very excited for you to get the shocking twist ending to Jupiter Jet and some hints about where Jupiter Jet could go in Volume 2.
That's right.
Ashley, what is a synopsis?
I'm so glad that you asked. The battle for Olympic Heights ends here. Jupiter Jet faces off with Praetor Pluto in the skies, and the fate of her family hangs in the balance. Can Jupiter Jet survive a battle against Praetor Pluto's robot army? What is Pluto's master plan? And a shocking conclusion that will change everything in Jupiter Jet's world. All in one tiny comic book issue.
That's right. 32 pages, baby.
With a cover B by the legendary Art Balthazar.
Art Balthazar from, oh yeah, Teen Titans and Superman Family Adventures.
Yeah.
So run out to your local comic book store. Go pick that up. If they don't have that issue, they can order it for you. Any comic book store can order this issue. Or just go to comixology.com and buy the issue there. Guys, we're so proud of this book. We hope you've enjoyed it. And we hope that you fly high into issue 5 of Jupiter Jet this week.
Who are the greatest Superman villains of all time? In honor of Superman's 80th anniversary, it's time for us to find out. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Supermanish Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, and today we are joined by a very super special guest.
Hey, who is that? Who?
Mr. Who is that? DJ Woolridge.
I'm so excited. Yay!
From Only Stupid Answers, yes. And also the writer of a super spiffy comic book named
Chaos Theory, Zombies vs. Dinosaurs. Yeah, and there's a sequel follow-up series coming out this year.
Is that also called Zombies vs. Dinosaurs?
Yes, and you can find out more about it by going to chaostheorycomic.com, chaostheorycomic.com, and signing up for the newsletter.
Great.
Yeah.
Plugging it right out of the gate.
Yeah, definitely.
We're flipping things. It's a topsy-turvy episode, my friends. So, Geek Extra Lesson, if you don't know, we're the podcast where we, you know, debate, we talk about things, we expose characters in less than an hour.
But physically expose them.
Yes, but today we're not doing that. We are going to have a discussion.
What?
Because there's an issue of comic books coming out this week called Action Comics number 1000.
That's still hard for me to wrap my head around. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so thoroughly impressed.
Is that like number shenanigans, or is it like legit?
No, that's legit. No, it's number shenanigans. I'm going to call it out right here. Is that Marvel renumbering?
No, yeah. As far as I know, it is legit.
Because there were weekly comics, which helped the numbers a little.
Yeah. The only period where they did not have their correct numbering is during the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, they've counted all those 52 issues because during the New 52, Action Comics had 52 issues as part of those issues. Now, it is a little bit sped up because in the 80s, Action Comics went weekly for like a year, I think. So it jumped ahead. And that's the reason.
That still counts.
That's the reason why Detective Comics is so far behind, is because Detective Comics has never been weekly.
Yeah, because it wasn't like they released like a Wolverine 900 or something like that. And it's like, we also counted the spinoffs.
Hold on.
And Spider-Man's numbers are really inflated and Doctor Strange. And you're like, guys, just be honest.
No.
It's okay.
You'll get there.
We're here for it. We'll wait.
So in honor of that, we are going to pick our top 5 Superman villains, of course, starting at 5. And if this is, of course, our opinions,
yes,
this is not what we objectively think are the best.
Except it is.
for DJ.
It is for us, the individuals.
Yes, there you go. So let's start it off with number 5.
Yes.
DJ, who do you think is the 5th greatest Superman villain?
Well, I'd like to, real quick, just throw some love to ones that wouldn't make the top 5.
Oh, let's save those.
Okay, all right, we'll save them.
We're going to save those for our Geekish Lesson Extra on Patreon.
Got it. So this might be this might surprise some people. It'll probably be higher up, but I put him on the bottom of my list because technically he's not specifically a Superman villain, and that's Darkseid.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's not. He is the big bad of the entire DCU. He's
a DCU villain.
Yeah, he's everybody except unlike Marvel Comics, DC Comics has a very clear moral center, like mm-hmm. the guy, and that mm-hmm. is Superman. So one of his greatest villains would have to be the immoral center of that universe also, which would be Darkseid. There is no bigger bad. I mean, maybe on Anti-Monitor.
DJ, you're speaking like a writer.
Yeah, so there is no bigger bad in the DC universe than Darkseid. And so even though he's technically bigger than Superman, like, and also in the Superman animated series, they had several great episodes with Darkseid as the villain. And so he's just a good, I'm going to, in this list, count him as one of Superman's greatest enemies.
I want to chime in on this because Darkseid is also my number five.
What? For similar reasons?
Yes, because I agree. Because even though he started off in Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, that's where he's
interesting.
Introduced.
Yeah.
Because that's where when Jack Kirby came to DC, he was like, give me your lowest selling title, I'll make it a hit. Yeah. And it was Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
And shocker, he was right.
Yeah, but you are correct. The second season of Superman the Animated Series is a build to Darkseid.
Yeah.
And when Darkseid finally appears, voiced by the amazing Michael Ironside, is amazing. So, yes, I think Darkseid deserves to be on this list simply for the reason that he started in Superman's world. But I agree with you now.
Yeah.
And this is the only reason why he's so low is because now I do think he's a DC Universe villain.
He's bigger than that.
He should have been the villain of the Justice League movie.
But what makes him also a good Superman villain is that it's good villains usually challenge the hero. Like, they're a little bit beyond the... Mm-hmm. Hero's normal scope.
So the hero can rise to the challenge.
And there's only like one real villain that is that for Superman, and it's Darkseid, basically.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only one that Superman has to like try.
Injustice, DJ.
Well, that's even more insurmountable than Darkseid is. Well,
the other thing about that is that Darkseid
is.
Well, mm-hmm. Darkseid is, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But Superman's greatest villains should be villains that do exactly what Superman does. So Superman is a hero that changed our preconception of a hero. Like, he is the superhero.
Yeah.
He was the first superhero. And Darkseid is a villain that, you know, he's not a human.
Nope.
He is not magic.
Yeah.
He is not a robot of any type. He is this basically biological version of pure evil.
Yeah.
And his whole goal is to find this, you know, anti-life equation to undo the universe.
Yeah.
So, like, Darkseid is as big of a villain as Superman is a big of a hero.
Exactly. If Superman's a sun spreading light wherever he goes, Darkseid's a black hole just sucking everything in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting because, I think if we would have made this list, let's say, 8 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even 10 years ago. Let's go 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago, if we made this list, I think Darkseid's probably 2 or 3.
I agree.
Maybe.
And I think it's only because of recent storylines where he's sort of become watered down that I have bumped him down.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I don't know. Ashley, we both said our number 5.
Mine's not Darkseid.
Yeah.
What's your number 5?
That would have been cool, though, if we all did Darkseid and we didn't even know.
Darkseid's not on my list, guys.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Darkseid is.
For the reason that you guys brought up, I don't consider him. I consider him more of a larger scope villain, and I didn't want to pick Justice League villains for this list. And I do think that because of that, our number 1s and number 2s are going to be variations on a theme, but that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I wonder if our number 1 is going to be exactly the
probably.
Same.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
But my number 5 is a number 5 because they've had stories where they are more sympathetic, and I actually enjoy them under that light more than as a villain for Superman.
Yeah.
They are originally a Superboy creation created by Kurtzman and George Klein. Bizarro!
Yay! I love Bizarro.
Me hate Bizarro. I think Bizarro, I was first introduced to Bizarro in the animated series.
You have to do this all in Bizarro.
No, I can't.
No, please don't. Not for my sake, please don't.
Someday we're going to do the Bizarro lesson and Jason's going to teach it like that.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I always...
Me did not come from Smallville.
I always thought he was sort of like tragic because in the animated series, he's kind of like cute and bumbling. And there's that episode where he wants to be Superman and he sets up like the obstacle course so that he can save Lois. And like, that's so sad that like he's aspiring to be Superman and he's derivative of Superman, but no matter what, he's just not good enough.
Yeah.
And then a really great writer can take that and twist that into something truly, truly scary. And I actually think the best live action version is the Supergirl episode from season one.
Yeah. Oh, Bizarro Girl.
Yeah. I keep hoping she comes back. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, probably not.
But for me, that makes the case why he would be a great Justice League villain, because you take all those things that the animated series or like the Heath Corson, Gustavo Duarte series took and that are like charming and sweet and innocent, and you make them dark and angry and twisted.
Yeah.
And then Superman is basically fighting an alternate version of himself. And kind of like you said with Darkseid, like Superman's best villain should be an answer to him in some way. And if he's fighting what could be potential corruption within himself, then there's lots of room narratively for him to learn a lesson. And the way the skin flakes off is just so
gross. Have you ever read the John Byrne issue that in Man of Steel about Bizarro?
Yes, because I just read Man of Steel for another geek history lesson. Yes, I did.
So yeah, that's the interesting thing about Bizarro is that he does have that
dichotomy.
Of
Ducati's a car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Ducati. He has the Ducati of evil.
Yeah,
but he could be comedic, and he could also be the scariest monster you'd ever come across.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing with a lot of Superman villains is on the surface, a lot of them are pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But if you break down sheer scope of ability, it's terrifying because mm-hmm. it's like he's got all the abilities of Superman, but he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's horrifying. Yeah.
With no moral compass. Yeah. So yeah. I might just squash you if you get it in my way.
That's great.
But mostly because I kind of think Bizarro is a cutie pie. I put him in.
That's fair.
Five.
I get it, man.
I would pay all the money in the world, even though I don't think it's ever going to happen, to have the DC Collectibles Batman the Animated Series line make a Bizarro action figure.
I really do hope that line expands to the rest of the animated. I know there's a Superman
I think that
and Lois line.
Dead.
No!
Yeah. They haven't made a new figure in like 6 months.
I got their Batman Beyond with Terry McGinnis and Bruce Wayne. It's so in Ace the Bat Hound. It's so great.
It's in this room, DJ.
I gotta find it. It's so cool.
We're pointing to it.
Yeah, it makes me so happy. You know what? Sorry, tangent. When you find out that his shirt is a different material mm-hmm. than the Bruce Wayne shirt is a different material, it's like, that's rad. Yeah. That's a nice detail. Yeah. Anyway.
DJ's all right. Clearly coming back for the Batman Beyond episode. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love that show, man. I want a live action Batman show. I feel like that'd be like the same way Supergirl's like in the Superman universe, yes. But since mm-hmm. we can't deal with Superman, it's do Batman Beyond.
Tangent, I've always said for a long time, I'm surprised that they haven't just made a Batman Beyond movie.
Yeah,
so
it'd be so cool.
And just
anyway.
Cast Val Kilmer or George Clooney as old Bruce Wayne.
Hey, or
don't,
maybe Ben
don't
Affleck.
Do that.
Anyway. Or Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe.
Like, you don't have to dye your hair anymore. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
just make it one of the other, or Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Make it one of the other old Batmans.
I don't know why, but I thought you were going to say Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Michael Caine.
Sure. Actually, sure. I'd be fine with that.
Hey, super friends. I got to interrupt the podcast here really quickly because I got to tell you about today's sponsor, Leesa. Now that's Leesa, and they make mattresses. Mattresses designed to provide support and pressure relief to every body type and sleeping for a deeper night's sleep. I have a Leesa mattress. I love it. And not only do I love Leesa mattresses, I also love that Leesa, the company, they donate one mattress for every 10 mattresses that are sold, and they also plant one tree for every order received. That means they've donated over 23,000 mattresses so far. They are a socially conscious company, and they make super comfy mattresses. And the amazing people at Leesa have given us an offer to give to you guys, all of our super friends, the Mind University students, their biggest discount they've ever offered. You can get $125 off a Leesa mattress at leesa.com/geekhistory. That is right. $125 off a mattress at leesa.com. That's leesa.com/geekhistory. Get over there, get yourself a comfy mattress, get that amazing discount, and thank you to Leesa for sponsoring today's episode.
All right, yeah. We went through our number fives. DJ, who's your number four?
Everybody's favorite name to pronounce, Mr. Mixie Spitalik.
That guy.
Yeah, I think.
DJ, this is getting weird. My number four, Mixel Spitalik.
Hey! So this is
Superman boys have similar choices.
Yeah. So this is another one where it's like on the surface, hey, fun. But when you really think about it, it's like Mixie's terrifying. And I think I just, he, again, somebody that challenges Superman's abilities, his, but not just his abilities. This is a villain Superman can't just punch to death.
Yep.
Like, it's something, it's somebody he literally has to outthink. And Paul Dini's Mixie episode in the Superman animated series is one of my favorite episodes of the whole show, because it's one of the few times where you see how clever Superman is. Like, that there's a montage of him tricking Mixie into saying his name backwards, and it's like, hell yeah, man, like, that's that's Superman, you know what I mean? And so but you would also get takes on him, like, in Alan Moore's "Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow?"
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And he's a straight up villain there. And so Superman is that rock steady, again, you kind of like center of the moral universe, and Mixie is basically pure chaos.
Yep.
And that's a great challenge. And even though, because I know Paul Dini pitched when they brought in a bunch of comic writers, like, hey, pitch us a Superman movie, and his was Mixie, and I cannot conceive of a reality where we'll get Mixie is the main bad guy of a Superman
of a
movie.
Live action movie. No,
yeah, just
now,
because
he would work great in Hollywood, a TV show.
I don't think Hollywood would get it.
Yeah,
I actually think Krypton would be a great place to put him.
He'd Mixie's be great, really, and honestly, I like the Mixie episode of Supergirl too.
Yeah,
I like
it
that.
It was one of the better episodes of last season. Yeah,
yeah, it was an interesting take on that character, and so I think he's a great foil for Superman.
I put him as my number four, and I definitely think, and a lot of people give, and I know you are one of these people, you don't,
I
like
hate this,
you don't
mix,
you don't like Mixel Spitlick.
I don't.
But he teamed up with Bizarro at one point.
Yeah, that's true, but you know, so did a bunch of chupacabras, and they're not on my list either.
Yeah. Yeah. But so Mixel Spitlick gets on my list primarily because if there's a couple stories out there where it's like we talk about, he's the fun idiot with the derby hat or whatever.
Yeah.
But then there's a couple stories out there, and specifically Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, which is Alan Moore's final Superman storyline.
Which I'm bummed they didn't do stuff like that for when New 52 was coming out. Like a bunch of like, hey, this is how it ends before we relaunch it. Like,
they're doing it right now.
Yeah, I like that. Anyway, sorry.
You're right. They should have done that instead of just making that all of Black Label.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because Mixie, to me, is very iconically Gilbert Gottfried. Do you agree with that, or do you think it should sound different than that?
Gilbert Gottfried is a great casting choice for that design.
Yeah,
because
looks more cartoony. For the classic Mixel Spitlick, to me, Gilbert Gottfried is not the voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who I would cast in that voice, to be honest with you, but Gilbert Gottfried to me makes him too cartoony. And again, this is the reason why Mixel Spitlick is my number four, is because yes, he's fun. Yes, he's dopey.
Yeah.
But this is the villain that can rewrite your history with the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
This is Q from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh, see, I also hate Q, so there you go.
but here's the thing. Mixel Spitlick is evil Q. Evil.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. And like I said, if you go back to the Alan Moore storyline, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, the whole storyline is Superman's villains all attack him.
Yeah.
They all attack him. They out his secret identity. They attack everybody at the Daily Planet. It eventually becomes the point where Superman has to bring all of his loved ones, Perry White, Jimmy Olsen, all those people, Ma, Pa, Kent, well, they're dead.
I love that you said Perry White as like his number one.
Perry White is there.
Yeah.
Perry White and Perry's wife.
Know.
And he brings them all to the fortress, and all these villains start attacking the fortress. And eventually, Superman takes them all down, like Lex Luthor, Brainiac, all these other people. But most of his other friends die.
Mm.
And then at the very end, Superman's like, well, somebody had to have caused this. Who? And he's like, oh, it's Mixel Spitlick. And Mixel Spitlick appears, and the twist of the storyline is Mixel Spitlick's like, do you actually think that an omnipotent being from the fifth dimension looks like an old man in a derby hat?
Yeah.
And he transforms into this like black and purple monster and starts just like trying to kill Lois.
Yeah.
And then also in the New 52, one of the best Superman run of the New 52 is Grant Morrison's first 18 issues.
Oh, it makes you cry for Mixie.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mixel Spitlick is also the villain of that.
Yeah.
And you find out in that storyline that Mixel Spitlick has been like rewriting Superman's history and making him forget.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been making him forget like his mom. He's been making him forget like Lana. Mm-hmm. And
was it Mixie or like an evil?
So
there's like
Mixie's the evil one.
Okay.
And then there's two Mixel Spitlicks in that storyline.
Yeah.
They try to trick you and think that the first Mixel Spitlick is like a good guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's Mixie. No. Mixie's the real evil son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He's that person. And so when you look at Mixie like that, Like, that to me is why he deserves to be on the villain. And again, the only, it's exactly like Q and Picard. Like, I think whenever the writers started Next Generation were coming up with Q,
yeah,
I think they looked at Mixel Spitlick, or they had some Superman fans, because Q and Picard's relationship is exactly what Mixie and Superman's relationship is Mixie thinks Superman is so fascinating and he's bored with everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this omnipotent, super strong guy that he can screw with is amazing. One of the best Superman single issues I've ever read in my entire time, this is the last thing I'll say on Mixel Spitlick, is Superman Adventures. I think it's like 17 or 18. And it's written by Mark Miller.
Yeah.
And it's a storyline where Superman's a Daily Planet. He hears there's a fire. He jumps out the window, opens up his shirt. There's nothing there. And Superman catches him. And yeah, us, the reader, we're like, wait, this, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And so the whole issue goes through, and it's Clark being like, damn it, like, he's trying to do all these things. Like, what happened? I don't have my powers. He goes and talks to Ma and Pa Kent. And he's like, I don't get it. Like, my powers are gone. And Ma and Pa are like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, he calls Superman with a signal watch, and he gives Superman an envelope, and he's like, look, I'm ready to believe that you're the real Superman, but we all know that only Superman has X-ray vision, so read what's inside of that envelope. And what's inside that envelope is Mixel Spitlick written backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Superman reads it and is like, boof, and he's like, ah, damn it, you got me.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
And again, like, any opportunity to show that, because normally it's like, oh, Batman's the smart one and Superman's mm-hmm. the strong one. Any opportunity you get to show how smart Superman is, and Mixie provides that.
Yep. Yeah. And here's the thing, Superman, now, I think this might be back in continuity because of Rebirth, but pre-New 52, Superman is a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Right.
He's a smart guy.
Award-winning journalist. If you're just like a decent journalist,
yep, nah,
you're probably quite intelligent.
Yeah, exactly.
And well-read. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. It's funny. I'm very curious to see if our lists are exactly the same.
That'll be interesting.
All right, Ashley, who is your number four?
So this character, I think, for a lot of people, because of things like movies, is one of the most iconic Superman villains. I was going to put this person at number one until Jason and I were talking about him recently, and he was like, yeah, this character sucks except in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So my number four is General Zod.
Yay, classic.
Who 1961 does predate the movies.
General Zod.
General,
not on my
General
list.
General Drew Zod. But see, I don't, I think he belongs on there for the iconography. Like, everyone knows Neil mm-hmm. before Zod, even if you don't necessarily know anything else about that movie. Like,
sure.
I knew that line before I'd ever seen that
movie.
Oh,
100%. It's permeated pop culture.
Yes. And again, he sort of answers Superman in this way that he's, you know, what if bad Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Because he's presented with the same opportunities, but a different background. And instead of being like, oh, there's this new planet, we could build new Krypton here, we could do all these amazing things, he's got some ladies with him, like, they could literally reforge their population. Nah, we're going to conquer it, and we're gonna plant, you know, plummet for resources.
These humans are going to be our slaves.
And we're especially going to kill the one other Kryptonian that we saw here because his dad pissed me off and sent me to jail.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you strip away all of Superman's morality, you get Zod. And then since Superman the movie, Zod has existed in every other Superman permutation that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Animated, live action, there are now more Zods on Krypton, and I think maybe not the most inventive character, and maybe it doesn't say the most about Superman, but I just think for how important that character's reach and legacy has been, he deserves to be on the list.
I agree with you, and I will just go ahead and say that the reason why Zod did not make my list is because there are so many different versions of Zod.
Yeah.
The one thing that...
Look, do you know how many versions of Superman there are?
Yes, exactly, but Zod is a Superman villain that every writer comes in and they throw out the old origin and they retell a new origin.
Mm.
Now, this has happened 6 or 7 times post-Crisis. Like, I couldn't even tell you, is Zod's lady Feora? Is Zod's lady Ursa? Is Zod's lady this other character that writers have invented? I don't know. Like, and that to me is... These other Superman villains, yes, they've changed. Luthor has changed. Brainiac has changed. But none of them have been, like, completely rebooted as much as Zod has. And to me, when you come down to the end of it, because of that, there is no iconic comic version of Zod. It's only the movies.
Well, I know. I
think that's fair.
My transition.
I'm anti-Kryptonian, any other Kryptonian living but Superman.
Well, and see, here's the thing. That's why there's so many different versions of Zod, because that was the mandate post-crisis yep. was like, so Zod became a challenge because like, how do we have him if yep. Superman's the only one?
Yeah, that's why John Byrne made him a denizen of a different dimension.
Yeah, my number three is actually Zod.
Hey!
Our lists are not the same.
No, not the same. Because I think the iconic version of Zod is the movie Zod, because yeah. ever since New 52 and all that, like, that's the one they've been chasing.
They've
been
referencing,
is that Zod? And even then, Geoff Johns had his run where he co-wrote it with Richard Donner.
And he had the Zod.
Yeah.
And then Brian Azzarello, right before that run, had For Tomorrow with Jim Lee. Yeah. And in that version, they introduce Azad.
But yeah. he was like
battle armor yeah. version of Azad.
But I think, again, like, this is one of the few villains that is a real challenge for Superman, mm-hmm. not only physically, but also into what is Superman's, what dedication should he have to his heritage? Is he more human or is he more Kryptonian? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes Zod interesting. And one of the best moments in Man of Steel, unfortunately it's like right at the end where like that version of Zod like comes to life as a character, is when he's like, I was genetically engineered with the sole purpose yes. of protecting Krypton, and you took that from me.
I love the line, where did you train? On a farm.
Yeah.
I also, what I appreciate about Zod is this thing that I first saw executed in Harry Potter, which dates me, but he's the first challenge to Superman's idea of who his parents are and how good and pure they are.
Yeah, because, Kryptonian parents.
Yeah. His birth parents, because he hates Jor-El more than anything else. And for all Superman knows, in no context, Zod might be right.
Yeah.
And the challenge to that mm-hmm. ideal can be very difficult. And I actually think that if I was going to write Zod, that's what I would like to see more explored about him, is like what he presents about the narrative that Superman understands about where he comes from on Krypton.
Well, that's actually kind of interesting, because in Smallville, they really like dive into the idea that Jor-El's not a
and
good
dude. There are two Zods in Smallville.
Yeah. Not only is Jor-El like probably not a good dude.
Yeah.
But it's also voiced by Terrence Stamp.
Yep.
Who's Zod? Yeah. So that's it's like fun. An interesting, like,
that is that's super fun.
That yeah. is the most interesting storyline of Smallville. Is they do present Jor-El as like, Jor-El could be evil.
Yeah, like Jonathan Kent is like the shining light, like yep. pure good dude. Jor-El might not be a good dude.
Yeah.
And then you're right, that's super interesting. But again, in the fact that and also, I think I understand the idea that Superman should be the last Kryptonian, mm-hmm. but I think there's something deeply tragic that the only other Kryptonian Superman sure. has are League of the Worst Criminals Krypton has ever had.
It's 100%. Like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I think, stuff that villains that bring out those elements, I mm-hmm. think are important.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Zod was your number three.
Number three, yeah.
All right, Ashley, that Zod, Zod was your number three?
Mine was my number four.
So you're now your three.
You're on your four? Your four was DJ's. It's my number three.
It's your number three. Stop making it so confusing.
We're all really good at math.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Hey, we chose the careers we chose for a reason.
Yeah. My number three is a character that I think people have problems with, but he killed Superman, so he had to be on my list.
Fair.
And it's got to be Doomsday.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Again,
Doomsday is not on my list.
No, same.
Really?
But I love the design of Doomsday.
I don't know if Doomsday...
Specifically in Batman v Superman.
False.
I don't know if Doomsday is, again, necessarily the most inventive or the most interesting or tells us the most about it. But when you look at the legacy of Superman and you look at the big picture, I think he's another villain that stands out.
Yeah.
There's a reason they use them in the movie.
Right. When you look at the cultural impact of what the death of Superman is for comics, for what death means in comics, for how comics is treated by quote legitimate media unquote, nothing is bigger than that, and he's the guy, he's the monster who did it. Now I wish he had more of a brain, and kind of like when the Hulk gets a brain, I think that would make him scarier. But I do think he's impactful, and I do think there's a great Doomsday movie out there somewhere.
Well, I think Superman, was it Superman Doomsday? Was that the first animated?
It was the very first.
It was called Superman Doomsday.
The loose adaptation of Death of Superman.
Yeah, very I think loose. That take on Doomsday is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And shocker, the animated universe has probably the best take on the character he's created by Cadmus, is basically
that's just Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, Justice League Unlimited. Yeah. Like, hey, Superman, basically Superman's the reason that you are the way you are, the reason you hate everything, so go kill him. Like, it's just a...
I prefer that too over, like, a Lex Luthor created
I wish
Doomsday.
I do wish, because that was right... Seth Superman was right around the time of Batman Nightfall.
Uh-huh.
And whereas Bane actually... They forgot about it for a while, but Bane actually has, like, higher functioning. Yes, like, he's actually pretty smart.
Bane's as smart as Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wish Doomsday doesn't have that, which is a bummer, but he looks cool. And you're right, hugely important.
Yeah, and those are, it's funny you brought Bane up because those are two characters I think that probably came out of the same zeitgeist, you know?
What? No.
Big, scary 90s villains who have cool designs nothing else.
It was a specific editorial mandate for the Bat offices when they were like, oh, Doomsday did really well. Hey, Bat offices, we need the Doomsday.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was like, we need the Doomsday for Batman.
Super funny.
Yeah, yeah. And they had actually, I think, Bane had already been introduced in like a miniseries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it was Chuck Dixon who was like, oh, we can just take this Bane guy.
I love Chuck Dixon. Yeah. But I sort of feel about Doomsday that maybe he should go away. I think he should have been a one and done Death of Superman villain.
Yes, I agree.
Because you're never going to be better than that.
Do you know why?
And he has never been better than that.
Doomsday is like Galactus, is like the Borg. When they show up, it's the end of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you use that character too much, same as the angels on Doctor Who, when you use that character too much, they're no longer a threat. Because now Superman's beat Doomsday like what, 8 times now?
Yeah. One, it's a similar thing. It's actually a similar thing that you bring up Doctor Who, the Daleks. You also bring zombies in general. We're like,
even say the Joker.
Yeah. Like in the Doctor Who reboot, they had that one episode with the one Dalek, and the Doctor loses his mind over one Dalek. Mm-hmm. And by now, it's like a billion. Show up and like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, but were we like having a panic attack about one?
He's also crawled inside a couple of them.
Yeah. Now we point a sonic screwdriver at like 10,000 of them, they all blow up.
Yeah. All right, Jason, what's your number three?
My number three is Bizarro am not dangerous, Bizarro am funny and nice.
I didn't realize you were Bizarro this
So, you know, Bizarro, he's the twisted clone. I have a lot of love for Bizarro, but I think Bizarro is exactly like Mixel Spitlick. Mm-hmm. The reason why people don't like him and the reason why he doesn't get the credit that he's due is because people treat him as the silly, goofy Superman villain. Now,
I would counterpoint, though, there are good stories that are told with that version of him.
Well, yes, there are good versions of that. But to me, the version, I think the animated series, again, I know, like, Superman the animated series, like, knocked all these villains out of the park.
Because they had to pare down all the nonsense.
Well, they had to get to the truth of the character.
Again, that whole animated universe, for the most part, distilled all those characters to their best qualities.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
I have trouble thinking of a character that they didn't nail.
No, exactly. And then when you think about Man of Steel, the Man of Steel John Byrne issue, where he was a clone, he's trying to save the day, but he can't figure it out, and he's quiet. He doesn't speak at all in that John Byrne issue. And then he intentionally sacrifices himself to explode so he can give Lucy Lane sight. So you're like, oh, there is a slight glimmer of heroism in there. I have always wanted, and it's so sad. I have always wanted Bizarro to be a Superman movie villain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put this pitch out in the world. I've told Ashley this pitch so many times. I'm going to put this pitch out in the world because I want this movie to happen so much. Imagine a Superman movie where for the first 40 minutes, you know, Superman's going around, he's just doing stuff, whatever. And then about like 15 minutes into it, Superman starts doing evil things.
Yeah.
Like, so he starts crashing tankers together. He starts doing, you know, like he's kidnapping people. He's like just lifting a car off the highway and throwing it into the water. And about 40 minutes in, you start seeing his skin starts peeling off.
Yeah.
And you mind screw with the audience and be like, oh my God, we've been watching Bizarro this whole time.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And then the real Superman shows up and it becomes this Bizarro Superman fight. Because again, that's the thing about it. This is evil Superman.
Yeah.
This is Superman who is misguided. And yeah, you could give him the moment of heroics at the very end. But I think
give him a good death.
Yeah, give him a good death. Like have him actually save Lois at the end. Like have Bizarro save the day at the very end. But I think if you never call him Bizarro, which you wouldn't. And I think in the movie, I also wouldn't have him do the me am blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'd maybe have him speak. He can't speak well.
I think the broken English is a good idea. But I think you know that it's become cartoonized.
It's become cartoonized. But like this, I mean, it's zombie Superman.
Yeah.
It's Superman fighting zombie Superman. I would kill for that movie. And also, especially if it's Henry Cavill, because man, it'd be double the Henry Cavill.
You know how you could have him be called Bizarro?
Sure.
Because it sounds like a schoolyard nickname, right? What I've always wanted to do if I ever got the keys to that is...
the keys to Bizarro?
The keys to Superman is a kid in the schoolyard used to call Clark Bizarro. And so Bizarro is a reflection of all his insecurities, like everything he doesn't feel about himself. So somewhere in Bizarro's messed up brain, once he starts perceiving that he's not Superman, he perceives himself as this thing that has haunted. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you were called names, and there's still a part of you that, like...
Oh, we all know what they are.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And Bizarro is a reflection of that back at Superman. What if you were all the things you were afraid you were?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A good take of Bizarro that I really like going with that is actually in Forever Evil, where he has this weird, Lex buddy comedy with, like, Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. And it also goes into, like... Lex Luthor might actually love Superman.
Yeah,
like,
that is. Oh, he does.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, the Joker and Batman.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That Bizarro is not only one of the best designs in the New 52, two, one of the best characters of the New 52.
If you want to read that, listeners, just skip to the pages that they're on.
Yes. But also, I thought Geoff Johns in that had the best origin for the backwards Superman symbol. Bizarro put the shirt inside out, and he couldn't figure it out.
I love that. But again, like, that's innocent. And like, playing with moments of sort of levity that is really interesting.
Yeah, he's like a super puppy in that, because he loves Luthor. Because he was genetically, you know, like, but yeah, you're right. Like, Luthor, and at the very end of that issue, it's never been played off. Like, you see Luthor growing a new Bizarro.
And it looks all weird.
Because he's clone Zero, I think, is how they explain that he's, or something like that. But yeah, Bizarro is my number three Superman. B-Zero.
He's clone B-Zero.
He's
B-Zero.
That's
right.
That's right. It's time to move into our number twos.
Yes.
DJ. This is the point where I'm like, are all our choices going to be exactly the same?
There's only two options for one and two.
All right.
My number two is Brainiac.
Ashley, who's your number two?
My number two is Lex Luthor.
Interesting.
My number two is Brainiac.
Interesting. So our number ones might be the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you probably switch with us.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So Brainiac's great. Brainiac.
I'll just talk about Brainiac.
Brainiac is, again, going with this idea of a character that's a kind of like a broken mirror of her protagonist. Mm-hmm. Somebody that challenges him not only physically but mentally. And just looks cool and is scary. Like
Brainiac has a lot of great comic book designs. Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about the Krypton show, but they're nailing the design of Brainiac and the ship. It's like, it's insane.
It also proves.
Does Brainiac have a bad design?
No.
No.
Well, he has one Silver Age one where he has a bad blonde goatee.
Yeah,
I'm not
a huge fan of blonde goatee Brainiac.
But one for like 20 is pretty good for comics.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Krypton version of Brainiac, to me, proves the thing that I've been saying for years. It's like, how have you not made Brainiac a movie villain? Because
he
looks amazing.
Well, because they were working on him for Death of Superman Lives.
Yeah.
And that seemed really fast. Christopher Walken was supposed to play him, which I desperately want in my life.
He was also going to be the villain of Bryan Singer. Man of Superman Return sequel.
I don't like the Superman Return sequel. Yeah. Anyway, but I'm bummed that Zod had already been in a movie. I'm kind of bummed. I feel like you could have told the same Man of Steel story with Brainiac.
Yes,
and I think it
also
would have
Benedict
been,
Cumberbatch hadn't been Doctor Strange yet. He was probably still cheap.
Yeah. I still think he would make a great Brainiac.
He'd be an amazing Brainiac. And with not only is Brainiac a mental challenge for Superman, but in Geoff Johns' run, they introduced the idea that he's a physical challenge as well. And so, and the idea of like Superman's struggle is he was raised on Earth, but he is alien.
Mm-hmm.
So confronting a villain that is super alien, like very alien.
Yes.
I think
green skinned man.
Yeah, exactly. I think is really interesting.
Well, it's also, speaking of Brainiac, this is another time where the Superman the Animated Series, and by the way, if you've never seen Superman the Animated Series,
we haven't convinced you.
Yeah.
good God.
Like, yeah, watch Batman the Animated Series, then do Superman. Yeah. Just watch, there's no excuse to not watch all of it.
There's no
exactly.
Do them all in order.
Watch all of it.
But Superman the Animated Series is like one of the best Superman things of all time. Those episodes are so good. And the Brainiac version in Superman the Animated Series is my favorite version of Brainiac because I love the idea that he's the computer system of Krypton.
Yeah.
I think that was such a smart retcon because when he shows up in that episode, it's literally like the planet Krypton is betraying Superman.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that idea you talked about, the parents not working out for Superman.
Yeah.
But this is like the planet.
His entire legacy.
A living representation of Krypton is showing up to Superman and being like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and
also
me,
that voice is so iconic.
So good.
It was the same guy that did voice Mr. Freeze on those shows, right? That did Brainiac? Is it the same voice actor?
Michael Ansara? Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't know, but the voice actor's so good. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I love. And even the Kolu versions I like as well. But yeah, Brainiac is like, he's so cold and he's so calculated. And it's interesting because that's an interesting villain to put against Superman. Very similar to Lex Luthor, because I would say Lex Luthor is cold and calculating. But Superman's a very, his heart's on his sleeve, right? And all this stuff like that. But that's why Brainiac works so well, because...
Well, he's been voiced by 4 people on the show, so...
None of those are Mr.
Well,
Freeze.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all good. But and then you think about the Brainiac opens up the possibilities when you find out that he has Kandor.
Yeah.
Inside, he has the capital city of Krypton is in Brainiac's ship. And, you know, whatever you want to think about New Krypton, that storyline where they activated that ship and all the Kryptonians came up, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm not a fan of it. But I like the idea that Superman thinks like, oh, there's a piece of home in there.
Yeah.
And he can't ever get it.
I also love that Brainiac has a legacy of his own. Brainiac has a family. There are other Brainiacs. And eventually down the line, you get someone like Brainiac 5 who joins a team that works to honor the memory and works of Superman. Like, that's so cool.
One of the best moments of Smallville is because Brainiac is this season 5 villain of Smallville, played by James Marsters, who's amazing as Brainiac.
Yeah, he's so good.
And they actually do the quick thing because that's the season where Clark goes to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brainiac is one of his teachers at the college.
Oh, that's cool.
So he defeats Brainiac, of course, and he destroys himself. And then in season 10, he meets Brainiac 5, and they just cast James Marsters as Brainiac 5. And I love it. One of the best moments of Smallville of all time is when Brainiac 5 shows up, Superman tries to punch him in the face and attacks him, and he's like, no, I'm Brainiac 5.
Yeah.
That's in season 10. Season 10's really solid of that show.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Corey Burton is the voice actor for the animated series, and also Jeffrey Combs plays him in Injustice 2. He's also
Brainiac.
And that's another interesting
perfect
thing.
Perfect casting choice.
Brainiac, we had mixed feelings on Darkseid a little bit because he's kind of a bigger than Superman, but Brainiac is one of the few times where he's specifically a villain to this character, but he's such a good threat that he kind of has grown into
a DCU villain.
Yeah, where
I mean, he was the villain of all of Convergence.
Yeah, he was the villain of Convergence. He's the villain in Justice 2. There was talk at the time, like rumors among fans that, like, could he be the villain of Justice League?
Because
that's how big a deal he is.
I actually kind of thought that he was going to be the villain of Justice League because...
Well, remember when everyone thought that was the Brainiac symbol on the World Engines?
Well, yeah. The World Engines in Man of Steel show this symbol that looks almost exactly like Brainiac's little three-dot symbol.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would have thought in my head, I'd be like, oh, okay, so just do the animated series version. And so when the same signal that brought Zod to Earth brings Brainiac to Earth.
Yeah.
You know, and you just sort of make Justice League a Man of Steel 2. But Brainiac, so amazing.
Yeah.
So really good.
I just want to say before we transition into talking about...
You're number 2.
Lex, your guy's number 1. I think it's interesting, and I think it says what we all think about the character of Superman, that, like, you two think that his best villain is human, and I think it's an alien.
Well, okay, let's talk about, okay, you made Brainiac your number 1.
Yeah.
Why do you think Brainiac, for you, is the greatest Superman villain?
Because to me, Superman is truly the most science fiction of all the DC characters, especially of that starting lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of pre-Silver Age, so I guess the Golden Age is what I should have just said. Really nailing it today, guys.
What are numbers?
And, I don't know.
We're number 7,
we talked about math, right? We're not good at it. So to me, like, you know, you can explore, like, who Superman is in mythology, but to me, he's always a science fiction character. And so what that boils down to is I want his best threat, and in my opinion, his best threat should always be an alien, and I think Brainiac is the best alien.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
And I honestly just think Brainiac is scarier than Lex Luthor. Well, I know guys like Lex Luthor in real life.
Well, listen,
I don't know guys like Brainiac.
We all get to win because, again, going back to Justice League Unlimited, there's that terrific part where Brainiac and Lex Luthor merge all the time.
Which also happens.
So we basically all get to be right. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's interesting because it just shows our preference to Superman stories
What I mean. And both of you have come out and you know done your Lex Luthor, or you're about to do the Lex Luthor thing. Like, you see Superman as more human.
I almost put Brainiac as a number one, but when I was thinking through my list, I was like, it had to be Luthor. It can't be anybody else but Luthor. Because also, can we transition into
Absolutely,
Luthor?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so my number one is Lex Luthor.
Well, actually, my number one is Jimmy Olsen. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
Turtle Boy?
Jesus Christ!
No, it's Lex Luthor. Yeah.
Now I see it.
Yeah. It all becomes clear.
Ashley and
is
I
that
were
a legacy of dead parents.
Yeah. Ashley and I were joking before the podcast where we almost. It was like how funny it would have been to make number one Lois Lane. Because imagine like the 50 years where she was basically a complete dick to Clark Kent.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so my number one is Lex Luthor. DJ, yours is Lex Luthor. And then your number two is Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he's fine.
all right, DJ, as the guest, why is Lex Luthor number one?
Every once in a while I'll see articles that'll be like, all right, who's Superman's Joker? And it's like, no, you've got it twisted. Joker is Batman's Lex Luthor.
Yes.
If Superman is the superhero, Lex Luthor is the supervillain. Like he is the patient zero of every other supervillain we've ever gotten.
And he's an evil corporate white guy 1%er.
Yeah.
Golly gee.
But what's also interesting is
He didn't start that way, though.
Yeah,
no,
that was in the 1980s, which I actually think is a really smart direction to take the character,
especially
what was going on in the 80s. But before that, he was the mad scientist. And now we kind of live in this great time where both of those versions of the character have merged.
Yeah. He's now the idealized scientist.
Yeah. And it's so not only is he like, it's hard to. He had to be number one for me because he is the most iconic Superman villain. He is, but more than that, like, you could do Batman movies without Joker. In fact, it's probably to your benefit to like limit Joker to a movie and then you could do a whole series of stuff. Lex Luthor is one of those few characters that not only is he Superman's greatest villain, but he's also part of his supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think not having Lex Luthor be a part of Man of Steel is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having him be a part of that world is important to that character. And there's so many different takes on him. I actually think my favorite live action version of Lex Luthor is Smallville. Because I think Michael Rosenbaum just...
Agreed.
Michael Rosenbaum just
kills
him. He is
the best Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and also that dynamic that they have, the friendship which comes from the Silver Age, is interesting. And it's interesting to have somebody who has built himself to be the human ideal. He is the richest. He is the smartest. He is the best.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what he does... Superman will always be better.
He's still bald.
Yeah, there's still that. That's so human. Mm-hmm. That's so that just that vanity. That like, and whenever Superman in comics, it points out like, I think one of the best versions of this is an All-Star Superman when Clark Kent visits Lex Luthor in prison.
I love that issue.
Yeah, and he's basically like, if you had just let go of your Superman thing, you could have accomplished so much. And Lex Luthor's basically like, yeah, and once I kill Superman, I will do all those things.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like you're missing the point.
Yeah.
And I think because you said you know guys like that, I think that's what makes him a good villain, because I also think villains should be able to show, in a way, the villainy in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be aware of your own, the darkness inside you, so that you can not be that thing.
No, I want your fire or nothing, man.
Yeah. Well, see, that's to me, again, that's why Lex Luthor is his greatest villain, is because if you think about at a purely instinctual, emotional storytelling level, Superman is that outside force that can do anything and can make us better. Whereas Luthor is, I hate to say it, probably the most human, because he has the same potential, but he only uses it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's so selfish. And I agree with you. Michael Rosenbaum is the best live action Lex Luthor. And I remember when that series premiered, at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that Lex Luthor and Superman grew up together.
Yeah.
But that series actually convinced me that that's my preferred origin of Lex Luthor and Clark, that they grew up together. Because... throughout the series, the reason why Lex goes evil in that series is because his best friend, and he can tell his best friend is constantly lying to him about something.
Yeah.
And he confronts Clark at several times and being like, what are you not telling me? And Clark keeps lying to him. Yeah. Of course, it's the Superman powers that he's lying about.
Sure, sure, sure.
And it just and eventually it just turns Lex, where Lex is like, well, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Okay. I'm done.
It also doesn't help that he has like the worst dad.
And he has the worst dad. And in the final episode of Smallville, when Michael Rosenbaum came back, there's an amazing scene between the both of them. And Clark says the most heartbreaking Superman lines, why I love the finale of Smallville so much. He says to Lex, I'm sorry I couldn't save you.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah, that is the perfection of their relationship. Like, Lex is the guy that he can never save because Lex won't let him.
Yeah.
So as someone who didn't watch Smallville and will probably never watch Smallville, do you chalk that? I've seen two episodes.
I've showed her a couple episodes. Yeah.
Do you chalk that up more to the writing on the character or to Michael Rosenbaum's performance?
It's a mix of both.
It's a mix of both, but Michael Rosenbaum really kills it.
Yeah,
like he does
a
really good job.
In the show?
No.
God bless him for being willing to do that for as long as he did.
Shaved his head for 7 years.
Yeah, and he has a nice head of hair. Yeah, it's not like he's balding or anything. He's doing all right for himself.
I think he looks. Yeah, he's
in his 40s and he has a full head of hair.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's like karma's like, you're never gonna be bald.
Yeah, you'll be fine. but honestly, I think weirdly, because Smallville came out when it did in my life,
mm-hmm.
that was actually my awakening to be like, actually, I think Superman might be great. Like, I was part of that. And when I was younger, I was part of that generation that like,
is that the thing
Superman's
that got you?
Not, yeah, it's
interesting.
Like Superman's
I was
too,
literally that until I met Jason.
Yeah, like Superman's like an old guy superhero, and then you see Smallville, and you kind of see the dynamic and what like Superman really at his most relatable is the ultimate outsider.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which again goes back to like Lex Luthor is kind of the ultimate insider. Like he's rich, he's powerful, he's got all that stuff.
Yep. And Clark is poor, ostracized, and teased.
And Smallville,
an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Smallville, you get the seed of the idea that if Superman didn't exist, theoretically, Lex Luthor might have been the world's greatest superhero.
Mm-hmm. He would have. I have no doubt he would have been the world's greatest superhero.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, we would have flying cars now.
Yeah.
Like, cancer would have been cured. Like, there actually is, and I don't know whether I agree with this, too. There is a Geoff Johns storyline where you find out that Lex has the cure for cancer, basically, or a form of cancer. And
I'm going to go full on conspiracy theory. I think that exists.
Yeah. And he won't release it because his sister Lena has cancer and he doesn't want to cure his sister.
And
he hates her so much.
Yeah. Lena's someone who I learned more about after I read Supergirl Adventures in the 8th grade, which is amazing and I highly recommend. Yeah. Lex's hatred of Lena is like next
but
level.
I love too as well because Lex Luthor is another one of these Superman villains. And it's interesting that Superman as the first hero has a lot of his villains almost become DCU villains because Lex has a couple storylines where he is the DCU Infinite Crisis.
He's got some great villain stories just against Batman.
And then there's
they're great foils for each other.
But then there's the other side of Lex where it talks about where that humanity where like he just had that run where he was part of the Justice League and it was great. I actually loved the Rebirth run where he built an armor of Superman armor and he teamed up with Superman.
Yeah.
And Superwoman.
Yeah, and Superwoman. I was like, that's really interesting. And I do agree that he does love Superman.
Yeah.
I really do. He loves Superman, but it's that love-hate thing where he's so close to it where he's like, I can beat you.
You know, a weirdly great, it's not weird. People have been talking about this forever, but it's weird because it's an Elseworlds tale. A really great examination of like a flip of the Superman Lex Luthor situation is Superman Red Son.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like it's a great like... I love that because it's like Lex Luthor's playing chess with like 15 people and he's still like pissed off about Superman. Like he can't he's like, why can't I figure this out?
I think that's funny too because we all have those things where you'll still be thinking about it 3 days later and you're like, why won't it leave my brain?
Yeah.
And it's just because you're a petty jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Ashley.
Yes.
What do you think about Lex Luthor and why did Lex Luthor not beat your number two? Now, we already heard your Brainiac alien argument. But
honestly, I just don't like Lex Luthor as much.
At all.
And I like Lex Luthor. He's fine.
I mean, it made your list.
No, no, no. Yeah. I mean, again, if you're looking at like the overall cultural legacy, like if I was making an objective list, Lex would be on the top.
Yeah.
But for my list, like I'm just less interested in him than I am in Brainiac.
Yeah.
And the problems that he poses versus Brainiac. And I just think that there's a part of me that's like, wow, another evil white guy. Okay. Like, I'd rather see the alien.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of the recent comics kind of like lean more towards almost Gene Hackman's version of Lex Luthor from the Superman stuff, which is a little more over the top villainy. Yeah, yeah. And again, coming from
just a little bit.
Yeah, coming from the Smallville generation, it's like I'd like to see more of Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo's Lex Luthor run.
Yeah, that's great.
Is great.
Yeah, Luthor of Steel.
Yeah, just Luthor.
Luthor Man of Steel. Just Luthor on the cover
because of the Joker thing, which is also fantastic.
He's just got glass in his fingers for no reason.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, so Lex is fine. Right. He's fine.
All right, so let's go through our list just to confirm. DJ, give your list again, please.
My list was Darkseid, Mr. Mxyzptlk, and threw myself off, Zod, Brainiac, and Lex Luthor.
Ashley, what was your list?
My list was Bizarro, Doomsday. I'm going to forget it because I don't have my thing open. Who was my number three? That was where it got all funny in our list.
Zod?
Oh, yeah. Zod.
Yeah.
Was it Zod?
Yeah. Yeah. Zod, Lex, and Bizarro. Brainiac.
Yeah. Mine was Darkseid, Mxyzptlk, Bizarro, Brainiac, and Luthor. The only difference between mine and DJ's list was number three.
No.
You have no love for Zod.
No.
I don't. Get the hell out of here, Kryptonians. Yeah. He's the only Kryptonian. The only other Kryptonians that exist are like time-lost cousins and clones.
Oh, no. I'm gonna fully, the only other Kryptonian who should exist is his son with Lois. There should be no other Kryptonians.
And he's a half Kryptonian.
Well,
Ashley.
That should be
which also shouldn't work, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
That should be the closest that we get.
It happened in an event that we're not going to talk about anymore.
Yeah. Sure. Jonathan's great, though.
I love Jonathan Kent. I like Supergirl a lot, but she could go away and it would be fine because he's the last of Krypton.
All right. Well, we are going to transition out of this episode, but don't forget we're going to have more with DJ in Geekers Lesson Extra over at the Patreon. DJ, please, where can they find you? Because you have an amazing podcast called Only Stupid Answers.
Yeah, and you can find everything about that at onlystupidanswers.com. That has where you can listen to it. That has our social media. That has our YouTube videos. All that jazz. Onlystupidanswers.com. And I am coming out with a new comic series follow-up to my one-shot called Chaos Theory, Zombies versus Dinosaurs. But there may also be aliens in there. It's just full of like every crazy thing I've ever wanted to do.
The title of your first one?
Chaos Theory, Zombies versus Dinosaurs. And so this is just volume two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it also has aliens now. But it also has aliens now and even crazier stuff. So if you want to know more about that and stay up to date on that and the quick Kickstarter that's coming up, go to chaostheorycomic.com.
Yes. And don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast everywhere that you listen to podcasts, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, it's on iHeartRadio. I mean, basically, if you got a podcast app, I guarantee you it's going to be there.
Yep.
And Ashley, if they want to suggest future discussions, future guests, future topics, where can they do that?
If you want to hit us up for the Superman timeline episode that we keep teasing, you can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, and on Twitter at GHLpodcast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jawan, follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson, and follow the podcast on Twitter at GHLpodcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, DJ, for being here. We had a super time. Hope you had a super time.
I did.
Yeah. Okay, let's get, we like to do this thing at the very end, make sure that people listen to everything. We call it hashtag stick around.
Yeah.
For this real quick, tiny discussion, both you guys.
Yeah.
What's one villain that almost made it on your list, but you couldn't quite get there?
Metallo.
Metallo's a good choice.
Metallo too.
Yeah, I did too. Metallo's probably
good, man.
He's like almost there.
Best
like,
version
right?
of him, Superman anime series.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ever had like a defining story though.
You know, fun fact about Metallo, Ed McGuinness in Superman Batman drew this version of him where he just basically had a giant, he could transform
I've seen
and
it.
He had a giant shovel for an arm for a scene because he dug their graves.
Yeah.
DC Direct made an action figure of Metallo with the shovel hand for
if
some reason.
If someone has it, please send it to our PO box.
Oh my God, please. Yeah, I would love Metallo with a shovel hand because it's just so dumb.
It's so dumb.
It's so dumb. All right, guys, I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
I'm DJ Wilders.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks so much for listening to Geek History Lesson, and class is now dismissed.